first is from a guy called Paul. Paul was a nasty man. He was rude. He was abusive. Paul became a Christian. And most of you will know that he spent most of his life after he became a Christian encouraging young churches and helping young believers in their faith. Am I booming? I feel as I can hear myself coming back a little bit. Can I just go down a tiny bit? Thanks. And he wrote to one church in a place called Galatia. And that church started off doing really well, but actually it sort of got persuaded by people that actually it had to go back into its old ways. And so he wrote to this church to try and encourage them and to really try and encourage them that they were really free. And this evening we have been singing about and we are talking about freedom. So Paul wrote this. He said, "Christ has set us free to live a free life." That's sort of really strange, isn't it? Christ has set us free. What would he have set us free for if it wasn't to live to be free? But Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Now, don't Christians talk in riddles? I mean, this is the most modern translation. It's the Message translation, so it's a modern one. Don't let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. You were running superbly. Who cut in on you, deflecting you from the true course of obedience? This detour doesn't come from the one or from God who called you into the race in the first place. And please don't toss this off as insignificant. It only takes a minute amount of yeast, to permeate an entire loaf of bread. But what does that mean? So yeast is described in the Old or in the Bible as sin. So it only needs a small amount of sin to permeate, to go through the whole of your life, the whole of the church. Deep down, the Master has given me confidence that you will not defect, but the one who is upsetting you, whoever he is, will bear divine judgment. So last week, as I said, we're going to be reflecting really in some respects. So last week, if you remember, we had, in fact, can you remember that? If you were here, the cross that we had on the floor there, I decided to do it such that you couldn't try and read it, but I have actually printed some of them out. So I'm going to go through some of them that we went through because Hazel got down on her knees and she wrote them all out. And if we're going to talk about freedom, it is important, isn't it, to think, well, what are we free from and what are we free to do? So I just wanted to reflect on that because in some respects, the congregation here did the homework for us. And there are some words. In fact, actually, before I put my glasses up, I'll put them back down again. Christians, as I say, often talk about, in fact, we had it this morning. Someone prayed this morning in church. Thank you, Lord, that we are free, that you've loosened the chains of death and sin and death. And we often talk in these words, and Christians talk in these ways. So what does this mean? We also said we're free from judgment. We're free from hurt. We're free from having any more debts. We're free from discontentment. We're free from the past. We're free from pain. We're free from guilt. We're free from burdens. We are freed forever. We're free from blame, and we're free from sin. Those were just some of the things that we spoke about. And you know, it's strange, isn't it? Because we say those things, you know, we're free from pain. Now, at this point, I was going to ask for a volunteer, but I thought maybe I probably shouldn't. But I can tell you, if I do that for long enough, actually for about that long, it hurts, and it's probably gone a little bit red. It is painful. I get guilty when I do things wrong. I do get guilty when I do things wrong, and I do things wrong fairly frequently. I do get hurt when people say things that upset me, and I know that I hurt people sometimes when I say things that upset them. So, and Mike explained it very well this morning, that actually, we do have these things. We've just sung, haven't we, that we're free from all these things. But actually, as Christians, we know that we're not free from on this planet. On this earth, there still will be pain. There still is hurt. There is still guilt. There are still all of these things, but they are time limited. that they are going to last now. But our perspective as Christians is that our freedom is for eternity. So our freedom is not time limited, whereas the pain and other things that we feel today is time limited. But we do say, don't we? We've sung about it. And in some respects, I'm not trying to explain to you today that as Christians you are set free, because I'd hope that you know that. But does that mean that we sort of walk around and we sort of boast and we put our chest out and we say, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, I've been set free, and I've got so much I can do? Well, in some respects, yes. But actually, it's really, really important that we remember where our freedom was won. Our freedom was what was won on a cross, the most humiliating, humble place that there could ever be. So as Christians, it is not about going around boasting about our freedom. It's actually so much more. We're going to talk about it in a minute, about learning about humility. Our freedom is great, but actually humility is how it's going to come out. We're going to talk a bit more about that in a second. Paul said, you heard him, about running the race. Now, I don't know if how many of you have ever run races competitively? Steve, I know you've run races competitively because you beat me very clearly when I ran with you, don't do it anymore. I used to run very competitively. Now, other than stopping or going backwards, what is the one thing that you don't do if you're running a race? You see them, they're the Olympic athletes, and they're coming, doing pretty well, they're coming down the home straight. What mustn't you do? You don't look behind. If you want to win a race, when I used to run, if I started to look behind, however, wherever I was, my coach would start screaming at me, don't look behind you, keep looking forward. Nelson Mandela said this. Nelson Mandela, you all know Nelson Mandela, so I don't think I need to explain who he is, but in about 1991, was it? He was set free after over 20 years in prison. And he says, as I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead to my freedom, I knew that if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I'd still be in prison. And did you know that, here's a statistic for us, for those people that end up in prison, 59% of people that have been in prison for a year or less, if that's what their sentence is, go on to reoffend and end up back up in prison again. In actual fact, on average, five times. They will reoffend five times. Now, I'm not talking here about society's issues or anything else like that, but actually, sometimes when we are free, it can be really hard for us to accept that freedom. And sometimes we look back, and as Nelson Mandela pointed out, it is so easy to become bitter about it. And you know, bitterness and revenge are words that we should not talk about if we have freedom. If we have bitterness and revenge in our hearts, then actually, a bit like Nelson Mandela said, you've got to question whether you actually are free, whether you felt that freedom. Even in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, the much maligned book that is really quite boring to read, full of laws and regulations, it says this, do not seek revenge or carry out a grudge against any of your people. Love your neighbor as yourself. I am God. And we heard this morning, for those that were listening to Sheffin, that if we are free, we have to act like free people. Bitterness and revenge are death words, and they will kill the work of the church. If we want the work that we do and the lives that we live to have an impact, and we have bitterness and revenge in our hearts, then we are going to get held back. It is not going to happen. It is not going to happen individually, and it's not going to happen throughout the church, because we've read, didn't we, that a small bit of yeast will work through the whole loaf. that little bit of bitterness that is between two people impacts the whole of the church. And that's why a few months ago when we were looking at how we encounter God, because we want to encounter God in our services, the very first thing that we did was look at how we have to love each other. And if there's any bitterness between people, we have to get that resolved. Because if not, the freedom that we have as a church is not going to be seen. So back to the words from the cross. This Christian jargon that we all said last week. Here's some more. We are free too. We are free to worship. We are free to come into God's presence. We are free to be called children of God and to call him Father. We are free to glorify God and glorify his name, to be grateful, to pray. It got blurry up the top, so I can't read that. Receive eternal life. There were some others as well. But, you know, those are all lovely words, but the one that I just want to spend a few minutes talking about, unsurprisingly, it was one that I said, was free not to conform. If we have freedom, because I actually thought, you know, free to glorify God is a little bit, well, what does that mean? Okay, free to worship. Well, yes, we're free to worship. We haven't got time to talk about that tonight, but I just wanted to spend a few minutes talking about free from having to conform. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but let your minds be transformed. Let them be renewed so that you'll be able to test and approve God's perfect and pleasing will. And you know, and this is really important, okay? The world will tell you that you have to do certain things. I'm going to stand over here one second. The world will tell you that you have to do certain things. You have to, and by the way, as I say this, the Bible tells us that we should work hard, that we should do all that we do with all our energies. So I'm not pleased before the parents start throwing rotten eggs at me, saying anything other than you have to work hard. But the world will say that you have to work hard, you have to get your GCSEs, because if you don't get your GCSEs, you won't be able to do your A-levels. If you don't get your A-levels, you won't be able to get your degree. If you don't get a degree, then you won't get a decent job. And if you don't get a decent job, you won't be able to get the car. And then you won't be able to do all these things. And therefore, it says to you, unless you get that right now, when you're doing GCSEs, you're done for. And the world tries to put pressure on you like that. And I have to say, I won't swear, but if I was going to swear, I would do. That, I'm afraid, is rubbish. Okay? We have to accept the fact that the world, all the way through your lives, is going to try and get you to do things the way the world wants you to do, because if not, you're going to be different. Well, that is the whole essence of Christianity, is that we are different. We do not live in the way of the world. We are renewed in our minds. Another quote, and I love this one, John F. Kennedy, who was a president of the United States. He was shot dead in 1963, you can talk about it afterwards. He was shot dead in the 1960s, brilliant. He said this, conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. Conformity is the jailer of freedom, which it is. If we want to be free, we have to accept the fact that we don't have to just follow the crowd. It's not all about how we look or what we wear or what exams we get or what jobs we get or all that type of thing. There is so much more to it than that. And the energy, the enemy of growth, we want to see spiritual growth. I want to grow spiritually. If I force myself to conform to the way, not just the world says I have to be, but actually to the way the church says I have to be, because actually the church is just as bad at doing this a lot of the time. You must be like this, and you must stand up, and you must put your hand in the air, or you must, you know, do these things, or whatever it may be. You know, you need to work out for yourselves what these things mean to you, but conformity, and that sort of I have to do it because I'm told to do it, is actually really, really dangerous to us. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to show that we don't conform? Well, we can sing, we can give money, we can do stuff. And you know, I'm glad that Sheffin got it right this morning, because when he said what he said, I was starting to sweat, thinking, oh dear, if he says something different, I'm in trouble, because I'd already planned what I was going to say this evening. But he was explaining, I know you weren't in there because you're at junior church, but he was explaining that he'd spent some time with the young people yesterday before you headed off to Zimbabwe. And Callum said it very well, actually, so I'm really pleased that this message got through. You know, why are you doing what you are doing? Well, let's just listen to the words of Paul a little bit later as he's talking to this young group of Christians in Galatia. And he said, it's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and to destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. So now if you've fallen asleep, wake up, because this is it, okay? Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. If you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And where will your precious freedom be then? For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. So we need to keep finding ways of showing our love for others. So we heard it this morning. Why go to Zimbabwe? Well, yes, it's to develop my faith. It's to have a great time, or whatever it may be. It's actually to show my love to other people, to those orphans. Why do I work for Home for Good, a charity that works with fostering adoption? It's actually got to be because I passionately believe that every child needs a loving home. Why do we do food banks? Why do I work in an office? Why do I work in an office? We need to find ways to be able to express in all that we do that we're doing it because of our love for others. So I'm going to challenge us as we close. We're going to just sit down in twos or threes or whatever in a second. And we are going to just think this week, because, you know, we can think about eternity. But actually, let's think this week and think, how can I show God's love to others? And it can be anything. So I'll give you an example. It's maybe a silly example, but on Friday I'm going to the Warwickshire gym. Is it? What's the, you know, the Warwickshire? To have a meeting with a guy, because he's the guy who runs it, he's wonderfully said that he will host an event for Home for Good where we can do some fundraising and some raising awareness. And actually, why am I doing that? Well, I'm doing that, I've got to look at my heart and say, I'm doing that not because I want to run a great event, but actually I want to do it because I want to show my love for God to these children that need a home. Now, so I don't want you to think big things. I want you to think really small, little, practical things. Could just be, you know, I cook the meals for the children. That's how I show my love, or whatever. But I'd just like us to spend a couple of minutes doing that. But just before we do, Jesus told a parable of the tenants, which I'm sure you all know, and how one guy got 5 talents. Did I say talents or tenants? I meant talents if I said tenants, but it's talents. 5 talents. And he did a good job, and he went away and he doubled it. Another guy gave 2, and he did a good job, and he went away and doubled that. And to one person, they got 1 talent. And that person probably thought, well, I'm no good. You know what it is when you sort of say, what are your gifts? And they say, well, I haven't got any gifts. Well, we are all gifted. We all have talents. And our job is to multiply those talents. And that doesn't mean multiply our bank balances or anything else like that. That means taking what God has given us and multiplying that out and giving it to others. So we have been given so much. Let's use our freedom to increase that blessing as we love others as God loves us. So what I'd like to do, if we could just spend 2 or 3 minutes, and it would be great if you could, if you want to pray with each other, that would also be great, but just this coming week, how can I show God's love in a situation? And then I will close that up with prayer and then hand back to Andy. So we just spend a couple of minutes doing that.